All right, here we go. Welcome to Wake in the Future. I am Pat, and good morning, everybody. All right, so it's Tuesday morning, November the 15th, and we have our good friend Chumley with us. Say good morning.
Good morning,
All
or
right.
good day.
Good day. Yes, all right. So guys, I'm not sure what happened with Joel this morning. Maybe he's slacking off a little bit, catching some extra Z's, who knows? But that is quite all right because I've got you with me this morning, chum, and this will be a good conversation, man. So you and I actually reached out to you via email because it had been a little while. I'm like, all right, let me see what chum's up to these days. And you got back to me, you're like, yeah, man, been digging the education talks that you guys have been having, and you
Yeah.
wanted to come on and kind of share a little bit of your experiences that you've had in the education field and some of the things that you've seen. So I'll hand it right over to you, man. Let's hear about it.
Well, this goes back when my boys were younger and we were homeschooling, and I thought I'd kill two birds with one stone because folks said, well, I'd be apt for, maybe teaching or having teaching school in schools. And I said, yeah, maybe. Or I said, I was about as interested in that as driving a school bus. So, it's just, I didn't want to deal. I just didn't want to deal with it because it wasn't like it was when I was younger. So, anyway, I thought, well, if I'm homeschooling my kids, it might help with my aptitude with knowing the technical aspects of, how to go about things. And then, maybe I could get a teaching job and I could teach at whatever school they're enrolled in, something to that effect. Anyway, after I did the Associate of Arts at a community college, because I went budget route, I wasn't going to any highfalutin schools because I decided to go, I didn't go decide to go back to school until like 7 years later. And then it was just people, pound, 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 like, you gotta go to school, you get the diploma and you get a better job. Do that, do that. And I'm like, no. But so I put it off and I wound up in the first online education program in Minnesota. And it was through Bemidji State University, which is BSU, and which is kind of comical because I always wanted to get like a sweatshirt hoodie that because their mascot was the beaver too. It was like BSU bullshit university with a beaver with a and a beaver. I said, how classic would that be, to have something like that. So anyway, it was the first online education program, and it was designed for working adults, folks that were, coming back into the scene, or coming into it late, like I was. So, to be honest, I never set foot on the campus. And I went through, it was a 3-year program, and I was 12 credits short of getting my teacher licensure. And that would have been through like a kindergarten through 8th grade. I was a math specialty, and I was going to teach junior high, students math, because I thought that was an interesting age because they're inquisitive, they're developing into young adults, and they're conversative, and I thought I could help out with individual independent thinking. But after I got into it and I found, essentially, I got fed up with writing all the nice spiffabatwang papers to answer, give them the right answer. There's always a right answer, and they you try whether it's the right answer or the wrong answer, you're trying to give them the answer they're expecting. And I got tired of playing that game, so I wound up playing devil's advocate a lot of times, especially with issues that I didn't agree with and some of the propaganda that I was seeing, because Minnesota is a welfare state. It's a bleeding heart state, and there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. Like I've mentioned in the past when we talk, growing up there, my mom working with that new age occult bookseller, and that's really big out there. So I was experiencing all this stuff like at the front lines of, changing education and stuff.
Right.
So the biggest thing takeaway that I got from the course, and I withdrew, I walked away from it like 12 credits short, like I said, and that was during the teacher, student teacher phase of it. And I realized, I said, I'm not going to get along with these politics and working with people with totally different outlook, and they're not looking at me trying to make something better. They're looking at like, how do I get by and get along with this system or
Right.
shit them? So when I discovered that they're not teaching independent thought, they're not teaching rational like decision making or money mechanics and just basic stuff, that could make you successful if you had a grasp on it. So they're teaching the kids to do well on standardized tests so that they can get subsidy from the government. So then, I realized, well, aside from that and the politics, and you can't, give direction or discipline like you used to be able to, if you don't hear, you feel, that kind of deal. And so with that, I was just losing heart. I was just losing it with it. But then when I found out how they're deliberately dumbing down students, that was like really a pivotal turning point. And it really kind of like changed my, I was like, man, do I really want to consider this, or do I'm just gonna walk away and take what I got from it, including the $100,000 student loan debt, that I incurred.
Don't worry, Biden just took care of that for everybody, didn't he? No, that's right.
And if I could take that money back, give that money back, I'd give it back. But I don't know how they're working it. I'm not touching it. I'm in default right now because I've been in hard times. But
Look,
that was a
you and
big
everybody else,
regret.
brother. You and everybody else.
It's a big major regret. But I learned something from it, and hopefully I can share this and it, people will get a better grasp on what they're doing.
You know,
So,
it's interesting. I'll cut in just real quick, man. You know, you mentioned how, you know, you had to you got tired of answering the questions, not the way that you wanted to or the way that was correct, but the way that you figured they wanted to hear it. You know, and that's something that I think a lot of people overlook, or maybe a lot of people understand it, but are able to kind of look past it and just to kind of understand how insane that really is. That you would, for example, for a you know, for any teacher, right? Whether it be, you know, grade school through high school or even in college, right? To actually have to put thought into how you're going to answer a question or give your views and thoughts on something based off of somebody else's opinions, that's scary because that is part of, well, it's part of the indoctrination. That is part of the system that is turning people into automatons, I believe, was one of the words that was used in some of the quotes that Joel and I had pulled up on, you know.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of a funny story I gotta share. But I was an old Boy Scout in the sev during the 70s, middle late 70s, and I was doing a canoe merit badge, and they're asking us during class, you're like, so what if you sprout a leak in your canoe? What do you use to patch the hole in your canoe? And we're all sitting there like, programmed, like we were in school, and we're thinking, there's gotta be one right answer for this question. And so we were like, what could it be? What could be the one right answer for patching a leak in your canoe? And so everybody was like, and nobody wanted to go forward with an answer because we were like, Well, if
What's
there's
the
one
one right
answer,
thing?
and we're coming up with all this like tape, gum, sticks, patch kit, tape, whatever, we're thinking all this stuff. And the instructor, he's kind of getting a kick out of it, because,
He's laughing his ass
we're
off right now,
because of
right?
the way we're trying to process it, like, well, there's got to be one answer. And he says, no, the answer is, the correct answer is anything that works.
Yeah, it could be that one thing, the tip of your finger. If the hole's that small, put it there. Anything.
That works for you is gonna work,
Yeah.
and things might work better than others, but and it's a learning lesson, it's a life lesson,
Yes.
anything.
Well, that is exactly one of the major problems is that is what schools do. Is it removes that critical thought process. It removes the idea from children, and they started at the very young age in order to produce a product that is going to be and reliable, right? They need people that are going to wake up in the morning, be pissed off, hate their lives, miserable, doesn't matter, but they're still going to show up at work and punch that clock at, 9 a.m. or whatever, or 5 a.m. or, whatever it may be, and how many of the people that are doing these jobs, right, actually really enjoy it. Like, for example, you know what? I wish I didn't have to work, but I enjoy what I do at least. I've gotten to a point in my life where, I've always liked working with my hands. I do enjoy going to work. Do I like that I have to work as many hours as I do? No, there's always going to be some things, but I've worked with and I've worked for people that are truly, truly, truly miserable with their jobs, their careers. They absolutely don't like what they do, yet every single day they get up and they go and do it. And that's part of that system that it's created the product, right? Because that's how they refer to people when it comes to these things. When you dig back into the history of it, we are a product. And what they're looking to do is just create non-thinking, reliable bodies that will show up and do specific tasks for them. And them in this case being the most cases the mega corporations.
Yeah, I mean, it's so formulative, like especially when we're young and we're picking up on things and learning things. Our parents are so busy trying to just to provide and that sort of thing. It's hard to find your own way. And I mean, what developed for me growing up was anxiety over not having stuff ready or done that I didn't care about. It's like
Dude. All right, keep going.
grammar.
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like just this topic subjects, but I mean, we could go into that further another time, but I
Well,
mean,
it's real
what
quick on that though. It's so interesting you say that, right? Because I still to this day, if you give me a deadline that's a month away, I'm still gonna do it probably a day or two before, depending upon how much time I need to put into it. Now, I know other people, they're given a month-long deadline and they work on it the entire time, or they'll even do the opposite and they'll get it done in the first couple of days if time
Yeah.
allows for it. Me, I've never been somebody that works very well with deadlines. When it's laid out in a process, obviously. So like a job, if I'm working on a job, I know that there's a deadline of next week, but there are steps that need to be taken throughout the whole process. But like with school, oh, you got a test next week, so you better start studying. The fuck am I going to do that for? Like, no, I'm good. And the stress that was associated with it, I had it when I was younger, but once I started getting like seventh, eighth, ninth grade, and when I say younger, I mean I'm very much younger, started getting into like seventh, eighth, ninth. I was like, why would I even be stressed about any of this nonsense? Like, it's literally,
Yeah.
it does. And I just kind of abandoned all things with it. So interesting you brought that up.
Yeah, no, it was the same thing with me. For getting homework done, finishing assignments, and like coming into class and like, did you get your homework done? No, Sean,
Yeah.
that's another zero. And I'm like, okay, and like, yeah. And then, I lose sleep, or I'd wake up in the mid-morning hours, like, oh, I didn't get my homework done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Here's a really good one of the quotes that Joel and I had found. This one here comes from Suzanne Cornforth, Pascal and Associates, public relations consultants, quoted in the New York Times, July 15th of 1998. Today's corporate sponsors want to see their money used in ways to line up with business objectives. This is a young generation of corporate sponsors, and they have discovered the advantages of building long-term relationships with educational institutions. This is why people like you and myself do not really fit in at all with the education system, because we're able to understand that, without critical thought, without the ability to think individually, what are we really doing?
Yeah. Well, and then you can't break cycles either. You can't break bad cycles either. That's what makes things really difficult with the programming, is breaking bad cycles. 'Cause I mean, we're creatures of habit, and that was one of the last things that my dad mentioned to me, before he passed, like words of wisdom. He was like, watch your habits, and you don't pay attention to them, but if you watch your habits, then it's going to dictate where the direction you're headed.
Yeah, 100%.
But one of the things, but when I saw the direction that the school system was going in, and this wasn't until after I had a, I called it a propaganda course, but it was called inclusion. And we've heard that
Inclusion.
word, yeah, we've heard that, or inclusive, the
Yep.
inclusive classroom. I mean, they've been pushing this inclusion like word for quite a bit, and I see it even more prevalent now. Like, I'm hearing it more and more. But when I was taking this course, and they're having us write papers on it, and all I was one, you typically, I mean, with a K through 8 teacher licensure, I was like one or two guys at the very most enrolled in this program at any given time.
All
And then,
women.
yeah, and it was all 30 women. So they're looking up articles, like mainstream articles, like teaching like magazines, and mainstream stuff, just the popular thing, periodicals and stuff. But then I decided I was going to write my report based off of like scientific journals. So, because I was curious about sociology and psychology, and so I was kind of familiar with a lot of stuff. Basically, most people, they say it's a running joke that when you're intrigued by psychology and sociology, you're trying to figure out your own problems. But maybe that part of that is like, why don't I fit in? Why it's the problem is everybody else is doing it the same way. Anyway, when I started looking at these scientific journals coming out of Great Britain, I mean, some of these journals, it would take me 5, 6 hours to read through them, and I wouldn't even get the gist of what the in the world they're talking about till the summary and the closing of it. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember they're talking about this, that, and the other, and oh, that's how it correlates, that's how it fits together, and this is what they're saying. So it was a lot of processing and looking at things from different perspectives rather than one perspective and one, push for, propaganda, to get it in motion. So what I discovered was, and this is the best way I can explain it, is from my personal experience, is when I went to high school in the like middle late 80s, we had maybe I was in a class of like 300 or 400 that graduated with me. And they had one special education class. And I remember I was buddies with, one of the guys that was in this class. It was like a dozen students in the class. And they were like either developmentally delayed or they had behavior or emotional or psycho different, issues, stuff going on, or speech impediments, things like that. Maybe some of them might have been deaf. So anyway, I was friends with them because I had some of these guys that were in my homeroom class, when we first got into school, and then they go off to their thing. Well, back then it was like a dozen of them, and they were in a class, and they had an instructor and an assistant, and they helped them, and they had their curriculum, and they had their assignments, and they worked on whatever they were working to make themselves better and proceed and progress. Well, that wasn't fair. So, but that was when I went to school. But then after that, they decided that that wasn't fair. So they came up with integration, where they integrated those students into mainstream classes. So they took like all those 12 and they split them up in each class. Well, aside because that was more fair in the view of the schooling system. So they would have to hire 12 assistants for those 12
Yeah, because
students now.
now they need the assistant to sit with the student.
Right, instead of just an instructor and one assistant for those 12 students. Now they need an assistant for each one of those so that they can integrate them into the classroom, the regular classrooms.
Job
So,
creation at its finest right there.
right. And taking, funds, valuable funds from the other students and their instruction. So it's, yeah, socialism is redistribution of,
Yeah, man. Yeah.
what's
It
good.
it's scary too because this inclu this idea of inclusion, right? I mean, that's part of it right there, right? Everybody needs to be included in. But the idea that in education that there is any singular way to teach everybody is absolute insanity. And they know this, right? The people that design the system, they all know this, right? And those that fall through the cracks, they don't really care about them too much, right? And I would be considered somebody that fell through the cracks, to a certain degree. I wouldn't consider myself an idiot. I wouldn't consider myself some genius, right? I'm an average guy that, I have some intellect. I'm able to, do the basics when it comes to the book stuff. But I understand how important it is to use my brain and break things down and kind of look at them critically. But you get somebody else, and I've had students like this in the past, back when I was teaching driving, I'd have students that would come in, and these are guys in their 50s, 60s that are coming in, they're like semi-retired, but they're like, you know what, I kind of want to do something more. So they're like, screw it, I'll jump in a truck and start driving around the country. They get this notion that they think they're gonna like get to see the country while they're driving the truck, and it's like, oh, most of your driving is gonna be done at night, but okay. Anyway, but I would get guys in their 50s and 60s would come in. They don't know how to read, like very basic reading, and that is it. And I can remember I spending time with students after hours, helping them to prepare to take the written portion of the exam so that they can get their permits in order to actually then start their training with the hands-on side. And these guys would always. I mean, they struggled like a son of a gun to get the written portion done. But the ones that would get the written portion done, as soon as it came to the hands-on, dude, these guys, they excelled, and that is it just it shows, and the reason they never learned to read, is anybody's guess. I mean, obviously it's a systemic issue, but it may have been, some sort of a disability that prevented them from kind of keeping up, and then they just got flushed through the system. It may have been they never had the desire or never paid attention. They maybe didn't go to whatever it may be, doesn't matter. It's the end product here we're seeing. But these guys excelled. They did really well for themselves, and it's interesting because this inclusion does more harm than good, and they're well aware of that. but they allow for it and they actually encourage it, because what they're doing is they're eliminating an entire bit of the product, as they refer to it. They're getting rid of this portion of the product and saying, oh, that's the fat. We're going to trim the fat off and we'll leave that over there. It doesn't really matter. You know, if they go off and do something, well, so be it, whatever. But they're getting the main portion of the meat where they're able to say, you know what? These are the ones, these are the automatons that are going to go out there. They're going to be reliable. They're going to understand that they have 32 flavors of ice cream, and doesn't matter because we're producing all 32 flavors and we're using the same base to start with, and all the rest of that. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking about that older generation, those guys that were coming in, they couldn't read. I could relate to that with my dad. My dad loved to read because he was into making things better. He always wanted to make things better, and reading helps improve, your comprehension of matters in life. But his thing was, he was a World War II orphan. His father was killed in Okinawa. So his mother, he says, they never, he grew up poor. I mean, he was picking berries and buying his own clothes ever since he could remember. And they moved around a lot because they had to go where the jobs were. And so he bounced around from school to school, and everybody's curriculum is different in different places. So he didn't he couldn't recite the alphabet from A to Z. He knew he could identify letters, but he couldn't recite alphabetical order. He until he was a senior in high school. So I mean, a lot, and that could be the same reason for a lot of the guys, you experience, they just working class, maybe they moved around a lot with their families or whatever.
It could be
So
anything.
but this is where it gets one step worse. What I was describing to you, where they split the 12 students up and they tweak the main curriculum so that they can succeed and get through it. But
That's the
they're
dumbing down you
dispersing.
mentioned.
Yeah, so they're dispersing funds, but they're being fair because they can participate with the rest of the group, and they're integrated. That's integration. Well, then they decided this goes further into the inclusion. Well, integration wasn't fair enough because they're not doing the same thing as everybody else. So they came up with inclusion. Now, inclusion, they take the main curriculum and they pitch it, and they develop a specific curriculum for the special needs student. And then they apply that across the board, across for all the other students. That is what they're doing with this inclusion. And beside dumbing down everybody else and robbing and redistributing funds that could be go for better purposes than hiring an assistant for or an aide for each individual student, it could go for other things. But I mean, it's like you're trying to save a broken system, and one that's designed to, program people into submission. Do this way and no other way. Don't question it. And if you come up with an original idea, no, you do something else. But with the
You hit the nail on
inclusion,
the head. People trying to save a broken system. That's where I think we've seen in the past few years specifically, but it's been going on for a long time, a lot more people running towards this homeschool idea, not idea, homeschooling. And then, like when we spoke with Dragon last week out in Cali, with the unschooling, there's another, way that, to really promote the individual and this critical thought by the children, because that is something that they will never get unless parents are actively involved, in all the time that these kids aren't sitting in these public schools. You need to be very involved. I'm very involved with my daughter. I make sure, like, I have her, it's interesting, she loves to read. So, she was reading these, she was in this series. It's a graphic novel type thing. So like basically a comic book, but it's a novel, right? And it was a series. And I look at it, I kind of looked into it a little bit. It wasn't anything too crazy, nothing like that. So I'm like, you know what? She's reading it. So I started, while she was reading that series, I started talking to her and telling her about some of the books that I was reading when I was around her age. And I was big, I enjoyed reading a lot of Stephen King back then. So I'm like, hey, have you ever, you know, I can't stand the guy's politics. He's an absolute knob, but you know, he's written a lot of good novels, in my opinion. So I'm like, have you ever considered reading anything by somebody else, maybe some bigger books? And she was like, well, you know, I'm like, so we got her Salem's Lot. So it was one of my favorite books to read when I was a kid. I enjoyed it a lot. And you know, but yeah, there's some stuff in there that might not be age appropriate, whatever. But you know, it's one of those things where, you know, as she starts to read through it, she came to me with one of the words. I can't remember the word, but she was like, oh, you know, because I asked her, I said, how's the book going? Well, I struggle a little bit here and there. And I'm like, well, what are you gonna do about that? You know, what, how are you gonna find out what that word means? Just look it up, you know, like here you go, find the word. Understand the word. I said, because a lot of times in these novels, what you'll find is there's a couple of words that are different and they'll be used a handful of times throughout the novel. So I'm like, once you understand it, now you come across it again, guess what? You already know what it means. You don't have to. So she's really starting to do this. Whether they try to teach kids this or not in school is I have no idea, but you know, we have to work with them constantly, because if we don't. And she's very artistic. She likes to work with her hands with things. Like she made her own Halloween costume this year because she was like, oh, I, you know, I just didn't want to, you know, I didn't like anything I saw. I'm like, all right, well, that's really freaking cool. You know, but we have to work with them. And that's what I really liked about Dragon talking about the unschooling is give them the opportunity to find what they want and then pounce on it and really work with it. And I think homeschooling does that in a lot of ways as well.
Yeah,
You know?
letting them try to figure out like how can you make this work,
Yes.
and
Yep.
problem solving too. I mean, that was one of the other crazy things that transpired when I was in this education program is they had one of the psychology courses that they had like education psychology. It was a course for, and they had us take an IQ test, and so. We took an IQ test, and everybody's coming on there and they're talking about their numbers and how they did and stuff like that. And I was all like all giddy about mine because I got 136. And it's like 150 is genius. I said,
Wow.
I'm if it and then I was, you know, joking around. I thought it was kind of funny, you know, like if it wasn't for all my head injuries, I might have been a genius. Because I'm so darn close. But then the instructor says, asked me, she said, oh, this is online. She says, so what does that mean to you? And I said, well, to be honest, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans because the fact that I'm a math specialty and mathematics is nothing more than recognizing sequence and pattern. I'm accustomed to seeing sequence and pattern and knowing what comes next.
Right.
It's just this, it's like you do puzzles for jigsaw puzzles long enough, you know which pieces are shaped differently and you know
Yeah.
where they fit.
Yeah, the recognition of it. Yeah, you start to see it.
Right. So, I mean, all these IQ tests, it's just a series and you pick the next one.
Yeah.
I said, it just demonstrate that I'm a good problem solver. And
Right.
some people are developed into good problem solvers, some are natural problem solvers. But usually for guys, problem solving is fun, unless it's a boring activity and they're just not interested in it.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think that's how it is for anybody. You know, it's interesting because the IQ tests, whatever, what does it actually gauge? What does it actually do? You know, I mean, really, like you said, you are somebody that is accustomed to pattern recognition. You're accustomed to certain things. And when you look at these IQ tests, that's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
You know, I've taken them before, but I've ranged anywhere from like 105 to 115. Does that mean I'm smart? I don't know. Like, to me, it's like, okay, cool. I have a number. Sweet. You know, like, what does it really gauge? Because out there in the real world, you know, that's what we're kind of doing, sure. But at the same time, who made these tests? Who decides how to grade these tests, right? And all the rest. And it's part of that system. And, you know, right back to a broken system, you know, if you're somebody that is capable of working with other people, right? You're able to do the work that's in front of you. So for you, right, the math, right? You're able to take math and you're able to put it out there, break it down, show how you do the whole thing, right? And now you're actually somebody that's really good with people as well. You're patient enough where you can take somebody like me that's an absolute stone and doesn't like math all that much. And you can be like, no, but Pat, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a peek at it like this and maybe break that. I don't care if your IQ is 85, according to them. If you're able to give me the answers and then show me and then actually help me to want to understand it, great, because that's what we need. But they truly don't, they don't care about that.
Or just looking at things differently. They're teaching you to look at things differently. I mean, they want you to look at it one way and rather than looking at it differently. I mean, yeah, I this is in general though. I mean, I'm not saying broadcast. I mean, these
No.
methods and ideas and stuff like that, but well, the other thing, I lost my train of thought here, but
That happens. See, maybe you are a genius,
here.
and that's why.
Well, here, like in the real world, though, I've found it much more advantageous to play down my intelligence, because then you're non-threatening to any boss that you might be working for or supervisor. You're non-threatening, and you don't come across as some hot dog and you're smarter than everybody else and you're better than everybody else.
Like
Because,
the gray man concept.
yeah, you know, so, you know, and just consider, I mean, it's just, and then the biblical principle of it, you know, and serving others and considering others above yourself, you know, you just wind up being more beneficial to everybody, you know, for yourself and everybody else. But I mean, it's like, and beside that, playing down your intelligence can be really entertaining on the job site. You know, I mean, it's, you know, when I hear you and Joel joke around and talk about, you know, crazy stuff, you know, it's like, yeah, it's crazy stuff happens all the time on the job site. But when you start razzing each other and you talk about how, you know, stupid each other are, you know, like, oh yeah, I just did this the other day and what I wasn't thinking. It's just.
And that's exactly it, you know. But I mean, for me, all right, so working, if I'm working with somebody that I've been working with for some time, I don't tend to hide anything. If I'm working with somebody new, you know, I always approach it kind of cautiously in the sense of I don't know what they know, they don't know what I know. Let's kind of work together a little bit, get to know each other, and see where we are. I've been working with this one guy now for going on a year almost, and you know, we work well together. He's a very hard worker, very intelligent man. He knows the business side, but he also knows, you know, the install side. He knows how to do the work physically as well. And, you know, over the course of the year, I've kind of opened up a little bit more and shown him that I'm capable of doing a little bit more as time has gone by, because I didn't want to walk in there and be like, listen, this is what I know how to do. You know, when I interviewed with the guy, we spent a couple of minutes sitting in a coffee shop, and you know, basically he was like, all right, cool. But you know, I at that time I told him, I said, listen, I know a few things. I says, you know, I've kind of experienced a little bit of all things in the construction field. I said I wouldn't ex say I excel in any specific you know, area, but I'm a capable guy, and if you show me how to do something, I'll remember how to do it, and it works out well. But over time, I've kind of shown him the things that I do excel in. And now starting in next year, we're going to start to do more of these things. He's going to take on a little bit of the work so that I can start to do these things. And it's a benefit for him and it's a benefit for me because, hey, maybe I won't have to do quite as much manual labor like I've been doing this year. And I can start to do a little bit more of the detail-oriented things. And, it does pay out in that sense. But at the same time, with the general population, it gets really disturbing at times because when you're out there interacting with some people and you're dumbing yourself down and they're still not quite getting it, it gets really, really scary at times because it really
Oh
starts
yeah.
to show, yeah, it shows the efficiency of the education system out there,
Well, that not only that, but the danger involved with the number of people saying they can do everything and they know how to do everything and they really don't. I mean, when you ask a guy if you know how to do something, you got to be honest. And you're like, it's like either you do or you don't, or you have some experience or you got a lot of experience or you don't have a clue. But then, the other thing, just letting your work speak for itself too. I mean, like, your guy was having you do this, that, and the other. And I remember working in East Vail, working on multi-million dollar homes. And the guy had asked me what I knew how to do. And I said, well, my fortes were custom cabinets and tile setting. So it was woodwork and tile.
Love tile work, man.
Yeah. So he, and that was what he did. And and I'm sure it was for the same reasons because, I mean, like right now I've been drywalling and painting and caulking and I'm like, I
Oh, I
hate that stuff.
hate that kind of work.
So it's so doldrum. I said, those guys, I make fun of those guys when they come on the job site. Because they got to do that and I get to do this. But I mean, this guy I worked with, the foreman or the head contractor, he was from Wales and man, this guy was good. And like I said, he's working on top, multi-million dollar homes. So he had asked me what I could do. And I told him that, yeah, I've done this or I've done that. I said a little bit here and there. I said, well, I did my basement and I did my buddy's basement. And so he'd give me little jobs to do, this, that, and the other, like side stuff, where it wasn't like in the main entryway or it wasn't in, view lines, like he
Yeah,
had me do a
see
base
what you
trim.
can do.
Yeah, having me do base trim in a little bathroom, a side hallway bathroom. But then, like, I got the nicest compliment from a guy. He was an electrician. He was coming through and he's working the same day. And, guys, we're on the job site. We're just chatting away, talking and stuff while we're working. And he says, so how long you been doing this? And I said, well, I just got back into it. He says, well, how long has it been? I said, probably 10, 12 years. It's been since I did a tile setting job. And he says, are you kidding me? He says, dude, like I'm looking at your work and you're like better than the majority of tile setters in the valley right now.
It's a
And
pride
I'm like,
thing.
well, thanks. So I'm glad that's a compliment. But I didn't go in there and tell him like, yeah, I'm really good. I'm a good tile setter. I can do everything really, like you'd be impressed with my work.
Well, it's how much pride you take in the work that you're doing,
Yeah, but your work should speak for itself. You shouldn't have to speak for your work.
No. Well, that's the thing. You speak for your work in the end results. That's you saying this is how good I am, or this is how good I am not. And I mean, I try in every day to better myself in that sense as well. And we've gotten off the education topic a little, but not so much because really, it's growth, right? It's constant growth. I mean, I'm 41. Had to think about that for a minute. And each day I learn something new. I learn that, what, I can do this part of it a little bit better, and maybe the end result will be a little bit better. And I break things down and I look at them and I try to make sure that if I can do something a little bit better today, that's going to make tomorrow a little bit better, and just keep on working on that idea. And I don't really see anybody thinking further, not anybody, a lot of people do, obviously, but coming out of this education system, that's not what they're looking to do with people. They're looking to make sure that people are just going to be okay in doing whatever the task it is, whether it be some menial or just monotonous. What That's just okay because I'm making an okay pay, an okay paycheck off of it or whatever it may be. And constant growth is something. If you look back and you see, what would be considered very intelligent people, they're also somebody that's going to admit that, you know what, I don't know everything and I am willing and wanting to learn more each and every single day. And I try to do that myself. I know you probably do as well, Chum. I mean, this is not something that just stops one day. I know it all. I'm good to go. No. One of the main reasons Joel and I really started to bring more and more and more people on and try to get more and more returning guests as well as new guests coming on, because you know what? I don't know everything. Joel doesn't know everything. We want to keep hearing more and more. Your experience is going through and actually trying to get a teaching, degree or whatever, and realizing towards the end, dude, not cool. Not what I want to be doing, not what I want to be involved in, and this is why. And it's awesome stuff, man. So sadly, we're running out of time though, Chum, which is always seems to go by way too fast, man. So what would you say on closing for everybody? Not to put you on
It should, well, obviously,
the spot.
learning should never end.
Yeah.
And we you can't know it all. You just can't.
Yeah.
And I think you get much further being humble and willing to look at different things and different perspectives and consider that you could very well be wrong on any given thing. I'm still studying, I'm still looking into doing some recordings and getting my podcast going again.
Yep.
I kind of let this stuff fall on the wayside, because I got so much going on, with the transition to getting back into the work field. But now I'm working more skilled stuff. And yeah, just build your skills, get skill, build your skill levels. I mean, you guys are doing that, with your media work, and I'm trying to do the same, and delving into my Bible study more and learning more, just on bad doctrine and bad thinking, and yeah, just reprogramming pretty
It
much.
that's it, man. 100%.
And always have a love for the truth too,
Yeah.
because if we don't have a love for the truth, then we're going to believe whatever comes our way.
Yeah. Well said, man. Well said. Well, I do appreciate you coming on and joining me this morning, brother. It's been fun, always is. And we'll definitely have to get you back. And yes, definitely get back to working on that podcast again, man. Get that information out there and just keep learning something new every day. So, guys, we appreciate all of you out there. Joel will get back with us again tomorrow morning. I think we've got another guest coming on. Maybe he'll wake up in time for that one. But thanks again, Chum. We will talk to you soon, bro.
Yeah, he wasn't going to go to school today.
Nah.
He wasn't going to get school today.
Yeah. All right.